is the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. Groats, it's Wednesday on a game week. Sir, start your engines. What you got?
Full life out here at Halas Hall, indeed, Lawrence. And let's start with who was practicing and who was not today, as we got a glimpse of the Bears workout here on a Wednesday, and not out there participating today, Jaquan Brisker. People probably already know he has been dealing with a concussion, so he did not practice today. Earlier in the week, Matt Eberflus had said that he still has to pass a couple of tests in concussion protocol before he would be cleared, so obviously he has not been cleared as of yet. Kyler Gordon was also held out of the workout. He was in the locker room, not available to the media, though. Gordon been dealing with that hamstring injury. Those returning today, though, Tyreek Stevenson was back out on the practice field in a limited capacity, easing a calf injury back in. Terrell Smith, Smitty was back in there with the hip injury. He also limited. Zach Pickens practiced today, also in a limited capacity, getting over that groin injury. Scott Daly, the long snapper, practiced in full today. So that was what was going down on the practice field today. And let me start with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams Day, of course, out here as always on a Wednesday at the Hall. We know about all the hype surrounding this game, so much going into it, but is Caleb biting on any of this? Caleb, let's hear.
You're going home. It's one against two in the draft. Do you get into that, or do you?
No. My job is to go win games on Thursdays, Sundays, and Mondays. So that's it.
If Jaden Daniels can't play, would you be disappointed at all that you're not getting that head-to-head matchup?
No. I hope he plays. Obviously, you don't wish to see, you know, good and great players down, not in games. It only makes the game better. But no, I'm not. I'm not reliant off of that matchup.
How do you feel knowing that, you know, you guys will probably be linked together for a while as you go about this?
Yeah, it feels great. Obviously, he's on the same side, the NFC side. So, you know, be seeing him a good amount, I would say. And, you know, we'll see from this game and then in the future. I think it's going to be great for us and the battle between, you know, us as y'all want to kind of talk about. But my job is to go out there and, you know, win the game for Chicago Bears.
Caleb trying to stay relentlessly level and not play around with any of that. It's going to be everywhere, man. It already is on like national shows and stuff. And it's fun. It's fun, dude, because there's people around the league. There are some people around the league who think that Jaden Daniels is better and is going to be better. I talked to one yesterday who thinks that Jaden's going to be better. This should be fun to have this kind of debate for a while.
I ran across a note that you guys will enjoy, and I will ask you guys the question about this, okay? You ready?
Yep.
Caleb Williams, number one overall selection in the 2024 draft, leads rookies with 9 touchdown passes. Over his past 2 games, he's totaled at least 2 touchdown passes and a passer rating of 120 or higher in each game. With a passer rating of 120 or higher at Washington on Sunday, he will become the 3rd rookie quarterback all time to reach that mark in 3 consecutive games. Name the other 2 quarterbacks.
2 other rookie quarterbacks to be that good. C.J. Stroud?
No.
Dan Marino?
No.
Joe Montana?
No.
Andrew Luck?
No.
John Elway?
I'll help you guys out.
Jaden Daniels?
No. They are both playing now. They're still playing.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
No, because he didn't play. Yeah.
Jared Goff?
Nope.
Hmm.
Lamar Jackson.
Nope.
Dak Prescott.
Give me Lamar Jackson.
Dak Prescott in 2016 is correct. There's one more.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Dak made Tony Romo say something special has happened to our football team. Matthew Stafford? No.
Nope.
I think you said that. Is this categories we're playing?
Yeah. You guys have both lost. The other answer, I'll let you off the hook.
Jalen Hurts.
No.
I don't know.
Russell Wilson.
Oh, wow. Of course.
Okay.
It's a good question. Very good question.
Since his rookie year, right? And who was the quarterback supposed to be that year? That Russell Wilson,
Matt Flynn.
Yep, there you go.
Got a whole lot of money.
Well, that speaks to how well things are going on the offense, Mark Grody.
Yeah, I mean we've seen it, especially over the past three games. We're seeing explosive plays from the offense, and Caleb Williams was asked that question directly. Why are things better?
I think the flow is us being the flow, us understanding the flow, and us staying in it. Whether it's from coaches and players and things like that, I think that's been the biggest contributor to myself and us as an offense to be able to get things going. Obviously, we got to be a little bit better at the deep ball and things like that. Myself and then first quarter we got to come out and be better. We've scored a bunch in second, third, and fourth quarter, but first quarter for sure we got to be better. So really excited about this opportunity and getting ready to go.
Man, I dig it. If he's talking about flow state, which is another way to talk about being in the zone with that, like that energized focus and being locked in, that makes all the sense in the world for an NFL offense. I dig it.
Well, it should be.
It's amazing, too, Lawrence, that he's still crushing himself for that bad deep ball to DJ Moore, saying that the deep ball's got to be better. And he kind of included everybody in that, like the flow. It's not just his receivers. It's the coach. The coaching has gotten in a flow as well. Shane Waldron has gotten in a flow and made things better. So I think that that's another way of saying that everybody, offensive line included, has made this thing more comfortable, and it was clunky. So, I mean, and I would say that I'm going to go out on a limb here. Is flow the opposite of clunky? Because it was clunky early on, yeah. And now it is flowing.
Well, I want you to go back for a second, because you mentioned DJ and Caleb. Was that a topic of conversation today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, DJ Moore was dynamite today. Let me play this for you. It's a little bit long. It's about 2 minutes and 50 seconds, but every bit of it is good. DJ Moore talking about his relationship with Caleb Williams, and also, again, trying to clear some misconceptions about that relationship.
I don't know. I still feel like I do the same body language things, maybe because it's winning. We went in that everybody don't care no more, but we don't really care. Like, I didn't care for losing just as much as he did. So maybe the frustration was there and it got heightened because we was losing, but it was never no bad beef between us two.
When you talked in London about Caleb being bossy and a good guy, how do you describe that part of his personality and what do you make of it?
He had to grow to where he can, like, tell everybody what's going on in the huddle and why we're doing it on certain things. If you see something that he doesn't like, or he tell us, like, hey, make sure it's like this so we're on the same page. Like, he had to grow to that. And now you can see, like, he bossy, but in a not, like, mean way, but, like, in his own way. So take that as you want.
I mean, does it please you? I mean, is that something you fondue?
Doesn't please me, but it's good to see. Good to hear him out there doing that, and that means he's doing growth.
To the play and against the Rams, you talked about, well, we're gonna do it Caleb's way now. Do you feel like that's kind of indicative of how things are being?
When I was saying Caleb's way, like on that particular, like when we didn't connect on it, because I was thinking one way, but he got a different mindset on things.
Bigger level, him asserting himself more in the offense, him kind of. The way a veteran quarterback would insist on, I want the routes done this way, I want this play done this way.
Yeah, he ain't get that far yet, but yeah. So, but he will tell you, and it's always conversation between all of us on certain things, to how you see it and how we see it. Just him, Shane, and then it's trickle down to everybody that's either a pass catcher or a runner, and you just go it that way.
Does he show you, like, physically show you too? I know, like, Peyton Manning used to, like, go physically run the route and tell his receivers, this is what I'm looking for. Does he do that?
he tried to, but he's not like, nah, slow your roll, my boy. But he'll show us on like the iPad during practice or something, or like try to draw it on his hand. But we understand where it's coming from.
Go ahead. I remember us talking to you at the end of last year, and us all hit you up with questions about potentially there being a rookie quarterback here this year. And you basically said that no matter who it is, there's going to be growing pains that all of you guys are going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised with the progress that this rookie quarterback has made this relatively fast?
Am I surprised? I don't know. We just playing football. His struggles came Houston and Indy, as you've seen, we all seen. And he's bounced back and been on a roll since. So I think hopefully he got that out of the way. We just go stay on his roll.
Mark Grody does a great job listening to all the Bears tape, deciding what we need to hear. Every bit of that was interesting and funny. DJ's feeling himself, well paid. He is the number one wideout, doesn't have to worry about proving it anymore. That's a confident dude who's letting his sassiness show. Sassy
anyone? Yeah, I can't wait to see what that relationship with Caleb Williams is and DJ Moore in a couple of years when Caleb Williams has that true authority, hopefully in theory, has that true authority in the room, and DJ Moore is not treating him like a rookie anymore. Because you can see the respect is there from DJ Moore to Caleb Williams 100%, but there's also that part where, hey, we'll take care. Don't be telling me how to run my routes out there. So, yeah, I think it's everything he said. Like I said, I knew it was long, but everything that DJ Moore said there makes sense. And, yeah, he is a straight shooter with us constantly, which is great.
So what else did he say?
Yeah, I mean, in that same vein, I asked him to start the press conference today about playing against Washington because I'm thinking he's got to be thrilled to play against the Commanders on October 5th of last year, 2023, a Thursday night game. DJ Moore had 230 yards and 3 touchdowns in the game.
I knew somebody was going to ask you that last night. I was thinking about it. I was like, do I say the real answer or do I just like come up with something politically correct?
You can do both.
All right. So, yeah, I think about it. You know, 230 don't go out your mind when you're playing the team from last year. But it's a new year and they got new people, some new people. So we'll see what happens.
Man, 230 yards. Yeah, DJ and Keenan both have some wide receiver in them. And I don't think that they're bad dudes or bad teammates, but they just both have some wide receiver in them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, DJ Moore is more of the quiet confidence, and he makes a big deal about how he's not going to be one of these guys that's going to be doing dances in the end zone. And he has used that line a couple of times to, you know, discuss the fact that he, you know, was not named as a Pro Bowler last year. Like, what do I got to do? Do I got to do all that stuff? But yeah, man, DJ Moore knows exactly who he is. Keenan Allen does too. Got a real human moment today from Keenan Allen, as a matter of fact, who spoke to a group of us today as well. That, hey, he is happier now after that London game. Take a listen.
How important was it for you to have those 2 touchdowns in the game and to get in the flow of this offense?
Yeah, it was big. Just to show that I'm, you know, still me. I can still make these plays and, you know, I'm on a different team, but I can still be the guy who I was.
You needed to prove that to yourself?
Not to myself, no. But, you know, for about 5 games there, it was looking like, when's this guy going to come along and play too? So
you had to have been feeling that, right? Like a little bit, I don't know, panic's the right word, but I want to contribute.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like you said, want to contribute, be a part of the offense, be a part of the party, as I was saying, you know, just join the guys.
I love that. I love that you were able to catch him and he would give you some of that, because there are a lot of people who say, oh, no, you, that's stuff that you guys make up, where he's telling you, yeah, I felt that. I want to help this team, and I was healthy enough to go out there and do it.
He hears it from, you know, not just us on the radio and talking about it, but on Twitter and social media, from fans, from everybody. Say, hey, where's, you know, DJ Moore and Rome Odunze have had big games. Where's Keenan Allen? We're worried about Keenan. Hey, I even said it. Keenan Allen left the locker room early. Is something wrong with him? Does he not want to talk to us? Is he embittered by something? So he hears it all, and he wanted to show us a little something too, Speaks.
As long as they both block their ass off on run plays, as long as they both run their patterns when they're decoys, like as long as they're still doing every bit of that, which they are and which they have. So it's good to have that ego. It's completely understandable and to want to get yours. But you just like Amon Ross St. Brown blocks his ass off. And there's reasons that Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery get yards down the field. And, you know, everybody's got to do it. So as long as that's happening, I'm cool with all of it.
Remember when Equanimeous St. Brown was here and got extended, and a lot of people thought that it was because he was such a damn good blocker. And it was funny. Some of my I don't know that this ever made the light of day. Maybe it did somewhere else. But I remember people kind of saying, hey, you know what? Equanimeous St. Brown would look good in this offense because of how well he blocked. But that was when DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson and anybody that was running the football for Khalil Herbert running the football for the Bears was not working out. So the St. Brown brothers, they do know how to block. That is for sure.
It's nice to have a guy that or guys that can do both, yep, though.
That's what you need.
That's and they have three guys that are willing blockers along with being excellent pass-catching receivers, which is kind of what you want from that position. Groats, what are the Bears saying about Washington?
Yeah, I talked to Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach, about that a little bit today. And the specific question that he was asked, that is, what does the Washington offense do well?
You know, when you do no huddle or on the ball like that, it's just about the communication and being ready on defense. And that's what the intent is of the offense, you know, and I was in college football for 8 years as a coordinator and, you know, 4 years, you know, at the other place I was at. So if we've seen it, and you just got to be really good at being able to get lined up, communicate, making sure you're right. And it's going to be about what you're doing first and then be able to execute multitude of things at that speed.
Yeah, we probably haven't talked about that enough. We got another couple of days to do it. The amount of no huddle that they run, will it be the same if Mariota's in there? And what does it mean for this Bears defense? With or without Kyler Gordon's going to be an interesting thing. Like, are you comfortable leaving Josh Blackwell out as much as you would have left Kyler Gordon out there? You know, it's going to be a big deal whether they, you know, how they deal with the no huddle. That's for sure.
That's a great point because, you know, in part, you obviously Flus is not going to be able to shuffle much personnel. So How confident are you in those guys? I would say, yeah, other than those guys, and they comported themselves very well in the one game that they did come into, I got no issues with the rest of the defense. And moreover, those linebackers that the Bears have controlling things when it comes to the no huddle. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much they would run of it if it is Marcus Mariota, who does have some mobility as well, but they thrive in it with Jaden Daniels. And we've seen the Bears at times get into their flow, which was the word of the day for sure, with Caleb Williams doing some of the no huddle and bringing him some of the comfort that has come with this offense in the last few weeks.
Man, getting in flow state, that's what it's about, man. It's about it in sports. It's about it in any of us. Like, if you're if you're a weekend warrior or if you're playing music or doing anything. Hell, if you're doing a radio show, getting in that flow, man. So I love how much they're talking about that.
I thought Zach Braff was really good in flow state.
You did?
Yeah. I thought it was a great movie for him, and I thought it really pushed his career.
That's Garden State.
Oh,
good,
I'm sorry.
Good soundtrack on that movie. Damn.
Groats, I see here that you have something about the weather, and I'm looking at the weather reports for D.C., and they look to be fine. What are we talking about here?
Well, I think the spirit of the question was, and I don't remember who asked it, but it was a good question, and it got a good answer, and it was just generally speaking about the NFC North and some of the outdoor venues, and obviously Soldier Field and the cold and how it may affect Caleb Williams. I thought this was a really interesting, insightful answer from the Bears head coach, Matt Eberflus.
You just saw what the Chicago weather? Yeah. Bears.
It's the NFC North weather.
Yeah, it's great. A couple teams got domes, but but yeah, I love it. It's great, you know, because you really got to factor that in. You know, it's factored into the kicking game. It's factored into decisions you make based on what's going on with the weather. And to me, it's very important that you practice outside. and you practice in the elements to be able to understand the wind. I know Caleb talked about it last week. I said, how are you doing? I met with him before the game in London. I said, hey, how are you doing today? He goes, man, I'm spinning it today. And I was like, yeah. I go, why? He goes, there's no wind. You know, so there was no wind there, and he had dealt with wind the first, last two prior weeks, and he was excited about being able to spin it that day.
Man, there's just like, a couple teams got domes. Yep, that checks out. You nailed that one, Flus. When he's talking growth, there's like a George W. Bush thing, isn't there? He's so deliberate, and he chooses to really pound certain words that are just out of nowhere. The elements. Yeah, gotta hit those elements. Yeah.
No doubt. Trust me, I was laughing when I listened back to it. But at the end, like sharing that anecdote about Caleb Williams and the way he feels when there aren't elements, and we know going back to the game against Carolina, where honestly not a lot of us picked up on it that day at Soldier Field, and then afterwards Caleb Williams was talking about how wicked the wind was, and all the players were talking about it and playing with it, and there was the sideline pass to Cole Kmet where it wasn't placed on the right shoulder, and if it had been, it probably would have been a touchdown. And I remember thinking that's not a great pass by Caleb, but then afterwards the Cole Kmet saying it was like a slider up there, that he was just happy that he caught the ball because of the wind swirl out at Soldier Field. So it's interesting to hear that. You hope that he can overcome the elements, because as we know, it is not going to be perfect once the weather drops here
never going to happen, though. This has been the best fall ever.
Yeah, the polar vortex is just not coming.
Yeah.
It's not
going to get cold.
We're good.
Plus, they're going to put a roof on that thing, right? They're going to put a roof on
Soldier
one of these days, right? There's going to be a new stadium one of these days.
Just like a giant lid. Just a real big lid, like on a sauce pot, but just a lot bigger.
There's going to be like six helicopters that come here in November and just drop it right there.
Just drop it right there.
Drop it like it's hot.
Mm-hmm. Drop it like it's hot. And there's going to be kickers out there, and the helicopters will be there to see Cairo Santos.
Oh, my God. I remember that. He snuck down to Soldier Field to get a sense of the wind. Figure out if he could do something with it.
Yeah, Troy Taylor did that, wasn't he?
And look at them now.
Yeah.
And yet they didn't win Special Teams Player of the Week.
No. It was Cole Kmet.
It's unbelievable. Hey, couple more things, guys, before I let you go. The Flus told us today that the offensive line configuration will stay the same. I wasn't necessarily surprised about that, but I thought it was important to ask the question because, Larry Borum is back and eventually will be available. So O-line stays the same. And I should also point out, too, that our colleague Chris Emma, 670thescore.com, did ask Nate Davis for an interview today. Davis politely declined, saying that he was running late, and that's important to note, not the running late part.
No, that's important to note
that because of the trade rumor started up by the NFL Network, and we'll circle back tomorrow and Friday and see if Nate Davis is interested in talking.
I'm sure he'll be late then, too. Groats, as always, we appreciate you. Bears, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Same to you guys.
That is Mark Grody. He covers the Bears for us. That's a comprehensive Bears hit. Two words right there. That was...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there,
there's
man.
There's a lot of meaty stuff there. I'm glad that we had that time with him. We need to talk Bulls. We had an incredible conversation with Coby White a few weeks ago. It's incredible. Very easy to root for him.
Absolutely. And
easy to watch him, though.
Not easy to watch him tonight. We need to update people on that. And there's also a status report for a player in this game that none of us should be surprised about.
It's next here on The Score.
Whether you're picking up the kids from practice, whether you're running errands and going to the grocery store, whether you're working the night shift, whatever the case may be,
or if you're
Bulls Radio, or just sitting at home, syncing us up with the national feed. With all due respect to ESPN, we appreciate that. But we got Bulls Ball on the radio.
Well, here's one thing. Every single Bulls game can be heard here on The Score, including tonight. Yes, Chuck. Everyone can hear Chuck and Bill. Did he not know that? Did someone not tell Chuck that everyone's going to be able to hear his call of Bulls games this year?
But
no, I'm telling you that drop.
That drop doesn't miss, Lawrence. It just doesn't. There's something about the urgency of it. I don't know exactly what it is.
It's the surprise.
You think so? I think it's gonna win drop of the year.
Of him not remembering what he said.
But
that part.
But I think he did remember what he said, and he's pretending that he didn't remember what he said. What? You know, there's, oh, God, it's just so good.
What?
It's a good point by you. People can listen here because they might have to.
Yeah, until some of this stuff gets sorted out. And look, the good news, and I said it last week when I got the – there is work on an app. But if they launch the app, like, they're going to lose money. Like, this is a thing. Like, they're going to lose some money on this if they don't get the Comcast deal done. You want to do this in conjunction with getting your Comcast deal done, not in place of it.
If we zoom out and kind of sort of back up for a second, I think there's a lot of people, like, we assume a level of understanding of everything that's going on, but there's a lot of people who don't truly get it, who may have been tuned out of the entire thing, who may have found those kind of conversations a little bit of an eye glaze, because you had the Blackhawks opener. Okay, you couldn't do it there. The Blackhawks home opener, we thought maybe that was a deadline. Okay, couldn't do it there. You had the Bulls preseason game, deadline there. That didn't matter. Here we are. This is the Bulls regular season game. I think there are a lot of people in our listening audience who are like, okay, now I want to watch this channel. Where do I watch it?
I honestly think there are going to be a lot of people tonight that are going to flip over
to NBC.
To NBC Sports Chicago's channel.
100%.
Looking for Jason Goff.
Yes.
And they're not going to find him.
And they're going to text their friends or call their buddies, or some might call Comcast. And all they're going to be like, wait a minute, how can I watch this game? Like, can I stream this anywhere? And the answer is no, that you cannot. That's the answer.
So, yeah, I think that that's going to happen.
Lawrence, there's a page.
Call your sons, call your daughters.
Well, they want you to call Comcast. They don't want you to call your sons and your daughters. They want you to call Comcast and try to get this thing going.
There's a page on CHSN.com that lists the over-the-air possibilities, okay?
Yeah, because it's 62, like since let's do the service, since we're talking about the service.
Yes.
The digital channels for CHSN are 62.2 and 62.3.
That's in Chicago. Yes.
Yes.
And there are other channels in Rockford and South Bend and Indianapolis. But yes, Chicago, 62.2.
And 62.3.
And it says it's the channel's name is WJYS. Yeah. I went over to WJYS's website.
Hold on. Yeah. I want to get the full picture here.
Okay.
Did you go on your own or did you follow a link?
I followed a link on the CHSN page of how to watch, and I clicked over to WJYS TV. Okay, and there's nothing about the Bulls or the Blackhawks or CHSN. It's just about WJYS. But if you scroll down, they do advertise one show, and the show is called Yvonne's Piano, and it's a woman named Yvonne playing piano at 6 p.m. every single day.
I feel like that's some type of like art that we need. That's joy. Wasn't your mom a piano teacher?
She was a music teacher. Yeah, but Yvonne looks like she's somebody's mom, and she's playing piano every day at 6 p.m. on WJYS. And it
Welcome
sounds
to
like
Yvonne's
this.
Piano.
Uh-huh. Yvonne's Piano was a variety of lots of music played by Joel Spencer on drums, Larry Gray on bass, and myself on piano.
It's Yvonne's Piano, a celebration of music.
Lots of jazz, lots of blues, popular songs, you name it, we'll try to do it to please you. We love music, and we hope you enjoy our show.
Sit back and relax. This is Yvonne's Piano.
Doodling is very fun to play, and every time I think about it, it reminds me of when I talk on the phone to my friends and I have a pen in my hand, I'm always doodling something. But they named this song Doodling, so I don't know if it's going to remind you of doodling with a pencil or not, but I hope you enjoy it.
Is she playing Stomping at the Savoy? Is that what I just heard right there?
It's freaking delightful.
Yeah,
it's called doodling, Lawrence.
I think that this is exactly what you need a little bit of.
Great show.
I hope I can watch this instead of the Bulls tonight.
Fantastic show.
Well, you can watch it before you watch the Bulls. That's the whole point.
Well, as soon as we're off, I'm clicking right over to Yvonne's Piano.
Maybe you pick up some tips.
Can she do only the Bulls?
Maybe.
It's a great question. It's a great question.
Only the one and only.
Shane, can you try to get Yvonne on the show?
I mean, that's no problem, but I want to put her and Nancy Faust in a room and see what happens.
Let's go.
Dueling? I agree.
No, not dueling. One piano between the two of them who wins.
Fight for supremacy on the
someone playing the bass with the left hand, someone doing treble with the right.
The bass.
Loser leave town.
Slap of the bass, man.
And they'll actually have a duel. They actually have a real duel to see who gets to play the piano. Oh, well, hell yeah, Yvonne. Kill it.
Well, look, there is a question via text that I think deserves us talking about because, again, I think there are going to be a lot of people that are not going to be able to find it. Can you guys back up and zoom out even a little bit more on what happened with NBC Sports Chicago? Who owned the rights and who paid what and how did that break down and change?
It's all there in the piano playing. To me, the answer is in the piano playing.
The answer is in the notes. But basically, NBC Sports overall, or NBC overall, is starting to move away from the regional sports network model, which is what NBC Sports Chicago was. And so when the contract came back up with NBC Sports Chicago paying for the rights of the Bulls, the Blackhawks, and the White Sox, they decided that they were not going to go forward with the channel overall for all sorts of reasons. And so the Bulls, the White Sox, and the Blackhawks had choices to make on what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Their choice was that they were going to build their own network. And if had this happened 10 years ago, it would have been a genius move that would have been ahead of the curve. Now, it seems like a backwards move because all over the television landscape, whether we're talking about NBA teams, MLB teams, which has been more prominent with the MLB teams, people are moving away from that model.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the money generator that it was when the Dodgers had Spectrum or when the Angels had their network or the Yankees had Yes.
Oh, no. It's way past time. It is. I mean, in some ways, it makes sense to still try and launch your own thing and try and control it and get whatever you can. So I get it, and it's to do it with two other teams. You know, it does make some sense, but it's a problematic landscape, and you got to be way out in front of it in order to actually give your fans what they need.
Depending on who you talk to in this too, there is an argument that the Bulls, the Blackhawks, and the White Sox were broadsided by this, that they thought maybe this wouldn't happen until next April, and that they would have more time to get all of this stuff ready.
Yeah.
That's depending on who you talk to, though.
Uh-huh.
There are some people who say they've known for a long time and that this should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah. No, it's a mess. It's a mess. And I know that it could be an easy solve to go get yourself the antenna and plug it in. But also, some smart TVs get over-the-air channels, and it's confusing as to which ones do. There's not really an app that allows you to do it.
There are some places where you're only getting audio, you're getting a blue screen.
Yeah.
I mean, was it Jets Pizza? I think Jets Pizza gave out a bunch of antennas for people.
That's amazing. Look, I only have one other question about this entire situation. What's your favorite episode of Yvonne's Piano?
Whatever one this is from.
I mean, this is slamming.
I find it delightful.
Yes.
It also, like, reminds me, like, every time I see that Peyton Manning,
uh-huh,
that's basically my mom. Like, the instructor who's like, okay, Peyton, whatever you say,
yeah,
it's basically
just
my mom.
Just being
kind.
That's
how I feel like what Yvonne's doing.
Yeah.
This week on Yvonne's Piano. Yvonne couldn't get the G tune just right. So she brings in her guy. That's Montez's dad.
See?
Who's a piano tuner.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like the start of something different.
Hey, I'm the piano tuner.
Hey, I heard you need your piano tuned.
That's not the only thing I need tuned.
I got a lot that should be tuned.
You know, I'm
Jeff Sweat.
You know,
piano tuner.
Jeff Sweat, piano tuner.
They call me Jeff Sweats a lot.
I have See, here's the thing. When she was like listing who she's playing with, I'm like, let's see. Do I know these guys? Have I gigged with these guys? Did I play a wedding in 1997 with them? Let me see.
Did you gig with Yvonne?
No, but I bet I know. I bet it's a pretty small circle.
I'll find her. You want her tomorrow?
100%.
All right, I'll get it.
You tell her that we like the show. Because we do.
Should we do the actual Bulls cut now?
Kobe White was great with us, man. We should.
He was, and he loves you. And this is what he said about the United Center crowd.
No, the fans.
Big Speaks fan.
And Bulls fans overall.
I think that those moments are priceless. Those moments that you can't, for me, I don't think I'll ever be able to replicate off the court in my life, creating those moments, I mean, those emotions. At the same time, like, the fans are, it gets so rowdy in United Center, and I don't know how many times last year I got the Kobe chant, where everybody starts chanting my name, so, which is one of the best, you know, feelings that you can ever have. And I like I always say, like, the thing about Chicago is the fans are genuinely sports fans. Like, you go to some places and they're just at the game, you know what I'm saying? They're just there, like, as a concert. It's like an event to them, but to Chicago, they're there to support the players. They're there to see basketball. They're there to whatever sport it may be. I've been to multiple. I've been to Bears games. I've been to baseball games, Sox, Cubs, and all the fans are always genuinely sports fans, and they love sports. So you could tell they're passionate about it, and that's the best thing about being in Chicago to me.
Man, it's such a likable kid. Kobe with us, Kobe White with us a couple weeks ago was just an incredible listen. I talked to a lot of people who really dug that and dug him. Hopefully we'll get to talk to him again. I want to watch that dude play. I love watching his game evolve, and he works his ass off, man. That guy works hard and totally is deserving of the love relationship that he's having with Bulls fans. This game in New Orleans, but as soon as the games come back to the UC, hopefully Kobe plays well, and he and the fans can rekindle their relationship.
Yep, you can see it there and see it live. And that's a good thing.
And hear it here.
You can hear every game on The Score, including tonight's game. When we come back, we get to debut a new segment.
Matlock! Coming up every month. Ghetto. Yeah!
Fantastic, fantastic show.
This Matlock might not be exactly who you're expecting.
Not the Matlock you're expecting.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Finally, my dream has come true.
Kathy Bates as Matlock? Was that your dream?
No, that was not anyone's dream. I'm sure it wasn't even Kathy Bates' dream.
Must have been CBS's dream.
And again, Kathy Bates older in the debut of Matlock than Andy Griffith was in the final season.
That's incredible. No, I love That's Incredible. I used to watch that show all
Sarah
the time.
Sarah Purcell wasn't?
No, she was on Real People.
That's was Byron Allen, right?
Yes, Kathy Lee Crosby, Fran Tarkenton, and John Davidson. Good night, everybody. That was the show,
and Byron Leftwich.
No, they had to carry him onto the set.
Kathy Lee Crosby and John Davidson carried Byron Leftwich onto the set of That's Incredible. Now we're getting somewhere.
So my dream, once we saw the previews for Matlock.
Yeah.
And they were very clear to tell you, no, it's not that guy on TV.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're being very meta because our show's on TV. The thing is, I really love Kathy Bates.
I know. Have you watched yet? Are you going to watch?
No, I'm not watching that.
You're not going to watch Matlock. You're just going to listen to the segment that we do called Matlock.
Yeah, I figured that we should be doing a segment every week where you give your locks of the week, our Matlock.
Well, before the Bulls games, I'll give you a Matlock, and Shane will give you his patented Parlock because he gets in. It's not a parlay when Shane does it. It's a Parlock. So we combine for those. Shane, what's your Parlock? You got one in first for the game tonight, right?
Yeah, so I feel so confident about this. I actually have word from the NBA that it's going to happen. They called me a couple minutes ago.
That's
so, like, your phone bill, rent, whatever, forget that. Put that money that you have budgeted for that on this bet. It is Bulls on the money line.
Uh-huh.
After Zion Williamson is out for being, quote-unquote, fat out of shape.
Oh, boy.
Zion Williamson, Bulls on the money line. Io over 8.5. That's a no-brainer.
Okay.
Io in the opener over 8.5.
I'm with you. Okay.
Kobe White over 2.5 threes. Are you kidding me?
That's good.
The guy who should have been an NBA comeback player of the year, he's going to hit at least three. Patrick Williams, over 3.5 rebounds. I would have taken that with Zion Williamson in the paint with him. But now that he's gone.
That's such an embarrassingly low number.
Give me Patrick Williams over 3.5 rebounds. And then Vooch over 1.5 threes. That is a plus 2966.
You need
That's
two
nearly
Vooch
plus
threes.
3,000.
God.
Dude, Vooch is going to pull up behind everybody, chill at the top of the key. They'll feed him. He'll hit three threes. No problem.
It's going to that. That's the one.
Is that the one that's going to blow up?
That's the
you think
one,
so?
No. That's the one tonight where you're going to be like, this tomorrow, Shane's going to this blah, 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 Vooch. Vooch all is he had to do.
That's
the one.
Well,
I think the rest of the lock is fantastic.
Well, and my Matlock is a first basket pick, and I ironically
love that first basket.
I'd love
strolling down Narrative Street.
It's Vooch.
It'll be a three.
I am strolling down Narrative Street. Vooch. They need Vooch to work hard. They need Vooch to run and do his thing. So early on, like the Bulls used to do with Bill Cartwright, they're gonna feed the big man. Gonna feed the big man. Try to make him happy early on, because then in the flow of the game, Zach will be getting Zach's and Kobe will be getting Kobe's and Vooch will be like, remember me? And they'll be like, no, we do not, as a matter of fact. So I got Vooch at plus 750 for the first basket of the game. And I put half a unit on Vooch just as the first basket for the Bulls. So if New Orleans scores first, I can still get Vooch as the first basket for the Bulls. So
whiteboard units for the people at home.
G.
For me, it's $10. So I have $20. Oh, okay. I have $20 on Vooch for a first basket, and then I have $10.
Why not more if you believe it so strongly?
$20 to win $170 at plus $750. It's fun.
If you needed more, Bulls host
fun.
Alyssa Bergamini texted me and said those are all really good picks.
Oh, she likes your parlay.
I know, Alyssa.
You can hear her right here on the score. Shane knows her, and she will be here.
Well, I mean, we all do. She's our coworker.
You're the only one bragging about it. Wanted to give you that.
I was justifying my picks.
Justify
your picks.
Okay.
Yeah. We both did that. It's a whole new world, people.
I like music.
What?
A whole new world. A brand new place. I like music too, but mostly only the piano parts that Yvonne plays.
Yvonne on tomorrow, 2:40.
No. Really?
I don't know. We'll see.
We're going to find
we'll do our best.
On target.
Yeah.
Is Big Ant Heron going to be on leading us up to Bulls pregame?
Unless he's just hanging out here, I think so.
He's a good Ant, man. He might do that.
I just like you guys.
He just likes us,
Thank
he said.
Thank you. We
it's
appreciate
good to see
that.
You, Ant.
Big Ant Heron is going to take over the microphone. There's going to be a lot of Bears conversation coming your way. For Tanny, for Shane, for Speaks. Thank you so much for the love. We appreciate it, and we will try to repay you in kind tomorrow. At 2:00, Spiegel and Holmes, you're on the score.
Wow, this has just been such a pleasure. I'm such a lucky boy. I can't wait to go home.